Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. I'm joined by Chris Castain, John Butler, and Ian Kusick, and we are not ones for outside chit-chat. We're totally against fun as a group in general. Would you guys say that's accurate?
And, absolutely. Absolutely. We hate fun here at Pro Sports Fandom. If it's fun, we don't want it.
Yeah, yeah. Chit chat can go out the door. We want to tell you about football. Football is not fun. Football is school. Football is life. Football is school. Football is everything. I was sitting in a class today and I just lost interest. It was a public speaking class and we had informational speeches. And the thing about informational speeches is they are really depressing. Like, no one, like, told us about anything interesting. They were all super depressing, like, about the opioid crisis or alcoholism or lying. One kid did something about lying. It was just weird, bizarre, and altogether depressing. So I ended up jotting down top 10 quarterbacks list and thought we'd talk about that today on the show. We'll throw it to that a little bit later. A quarterback who would have been on that list, though, Deshaun Watson. Let's just get right into it. Tore his ACL. The Texans were going to be a frisky team that could have sneaked into the playoffs. And I think beaten the Patriots. I don't think it's that crazy. They played Seattle super tight, and Seattle's got a great defense. I think that I don't think that that's crazy at all. Ian, one, obviously, how are you feeling about this? Obviously, you don't like that Deshaun Watson got injured. You're a good person, but you must be flying right now.
No, I'm actually devastated to see that Watson got hurt. He was my pick for Rookie of the Year, and frankly, he was just one of my favorite players to be watching right now. He made football fun to watch when it wasn't the Patriots playing. And I absolutely think that if Watson was still quarterbacking and the Texans made the playoffs, they could absolutely challenge the Patriots. I mean, look at week three. They took the Patriots to literally the last play of the game. Came down to a Hail Mary that didn't quite go their way. But the Patriots ended up winning in week three, 36-33. And frankly, I think Watson's been a much better quarterback since that game, so I absolutely think it's not impossible for Deshaun Watson to beat the Patriots in the playoffs if he were still playing. So obviously, you know, I'm a little happy about that, but I'm absolutely devastated to see that injury because that's absolutely killer to someone that would have been Offensive Rookie of the Year, in my opinion, because I feel like that at the way it comes down to two main candidates at this point, Kareem Hunt or Deshaun Watson. And I feel like Hunt has kind of been pretty quiet the past few weeks. Watson has been on fire. I think he had like 1,900 passing yards, 19 touchdowns, and that's just absurd even for a rookie. But that's just absolutely devastating for Houston, especially coming right after a World Series win. What a roller coaster of emotions for them.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you actually saw the paper from today from Houston. And it had, oh, yes, with the Houston Astros coming off of the plane. And then, oh, no, directly below with a picture of Deshaun Watson sitting on the ground. And that's just, like you said, a roller coaster of emotions. That's so tough because you're riding the high of a World Series win for the first time for the Astros. And then this happens on Thursday. It's just, I couldn't imagine being a Texans fan right now, especially after losing Watt and Merciless for the season as well.
Yeah, I feel like the AFC was already pretty watered down, and now I think it's clearly a race between the Chiefs and the Patriots, and maybe, as much as I hate to say it, the Steelers. I don't know why, but I've started to root very hard against the Steelers, just because they've kind of been up to this point in the season, but their defense is good, so I think the Steelers will very quickly fill the void that the Texans left, but certainly nothing as exciting as Houston was.
realistically, the race is between the Patriots and the Patriots at this point. I still don't think I think Deshaun Watson would have fell off some and turned back to human, because he has looked beyond human at this point. I just don't see I didn't see any competition for the Patriots besides maybe the Chiefs anyway. But as far as the injury goes, it's devastating, and for any, if Houston had any chance of going into Foxborough and putting up a fight, it's gone now. It's done. It's either the Patriots, the Chiefs, or the Steelers, and it's looking like the Patriots.
Ian, how does it feel to just have everything go your way all the time, just breeze through life knowing that every Sunday will be a win and every year will be an AFC championship game, and every year at this point or every other year will be a Super Bowl? What's it like to have that kind of security in your life?
Eric, I'm not going to lie. It's pretty damn good, and I'm riding this out as long as I can, because I know that, you know, it's not going to be, you know, terrible when Brady retires, because I feel like, you know, the system, the offense the Patriots have, that's something that we can keep riding on. And, you know, yeah, I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to say, yeah, Tom Brady, he did thrive in a really good system. Regardless of his talent, that is a good offensive system. But that's beside the point. I think that it's not the end of the world if Brady retires. But in the meantime, I'm going to enjoy some greatness.
You know, I'm not saying I hope this happens, but the football gods, they've put some pretty bad karma on the rest of these teams. Tommy boy might want to watch himself. Maybe his knee just a little bit weaker.
No, nope, Bernard Pollard's out of the NFL. This isn't happening.
Day by day. I can't wait till it does happen.
And it hasn't happened in a very long time. I don't see it happening now.
Since 2008, Tom Brady has been an iron workhorse behind some of the worst offensive lines imaginable. I'm not scared.
It needs to change. Another thing that needs to change is really these games just need to go away. Not many good games this week. There are a few, but let's just get the bad games out of the way. I'll just give you guys the games, and you just tell me the score and why. The Raiders and the Dolphins somehow squeaked its way into being a Sunday night football game. I don't even know why before the season they thought this would be a good Sunday night football game 9 games in. I don't know why Miami was ever scheduled to be on a primetime game, even before the season when the Jay Cutler hype was kind of okay. I understand the Raiders part, but I'm taking the Raiders. It's going to be a weird, ugly score game. It's going to be 17-9 Raiders.
I'll take the Raiders. I've got, I think, 23-16. It's just, I see a little bit of offense. Dolphins defense has been pretty decent, but we'll see. There's going to be a lot of field goals, I feel.
Yeah, I have the Raiders 30-14. I don't think it'll be close. I think this is the Raiders game to start getting it going like they did last season. I just don't see this being a competitive game.
Yeah, this is pretty lousy for a primetime game, a week full of lousy primetime games. I'm going to take the Raiders 19-14.
Rams at Giants. Jared Goff comes back. He hasn't really had a great game like we saw him have earlier in the season in like San Francisco and Dallas for about 2 to 3 weeks. One of those weeks was a bye week. But I feel like this is a game where Jared Goff kind of needs to bounce back and prove it a little bit. I think we all know that he's a good quarterback, but I think he needs to prove that he's top 10 and good enough. So I think that the Rams win this game by a score of 31-17.
I disagree with the score line, but I believe the Giants will return back to early season, no offensive form. this is going to be an ugly game. It's, I'm going to say right now 28-3 Rams.
I get it. 28-3. Chris is a Falcons fan. Sorry, that's it.
That was awful.
All seriousness.
Ian, what do you pick? What are you? Oh, John, what are you picking in this game?
I've got the Rams. The Giants' defense has been miserable against tight ends, and I think we're actually going to see Tyler Higbee kind of break out in this game, because if you didn't know this, the Giants have allowed a tight end touchdown every single game this year. That's unheard of. I mean, you're not going to face a Jimmy Graham, a Delanie Walker every single week, but if you're still allowing a touchdown to tight ends every single week, you're doing something wrong on defense. So I've got the Rams going 23-10.
That's a little insane. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, this is just an ugly week for the Giants. Who was it? Janoris Jenkins suspended? I don't even know what he did, but the team suspended him.
Yeah, I saw that, and I don't know what happened either.
What that was is he got in an argument during one of the games with the coaches, and then so the Giants were trying to put him in his place is what it was. It happened during a game, and then when he came back in Monday, they suspended him.
Well, so I have to say about that.
I get the feeling that Ben McAdoo's just really bad at his job. I get that you can't have insubordination on the team, but I think you get a little bit of that from every star player in the league. I don't think that merits a suspension.
No, because if the Giants were 6-2, or if they had a winning record, Janoris Jenkins would not be suspended. So this is the fact that they're losing, so they might as well suspend them. I think this is the wrong decision.
In a season where it's like they're already one of the worst teams in the league, I don't think it makes any sense to be suspending one of your best defensive players going into a week where it's like one of the top scoring offenses in the NFL. I don't understand it. Obviously, there are people that are paid a lot more than me to make these decisions, but I don't really think – I'm not seeing the logic here.
Moving on to another bad game involving my team, which might be okay, I guess. The Broncos at the Eagles, rock and roll, baby. We got Brock Osweiler in. If Tristan Beckman, our other resident Broncos fan, is listening to this podcast, I don't need to hear how Brock Osweiler is going to help us run the table, because he won't. The offense will be barely better than it has. I think the defense will keep this game really close. I really think Carson Wentz will struggle. He struggled a little bit early against the 49ers, but they were the 49ers, so they caved in. I think the Broncos will keep it close. I'm going to pick the Eagles, though, and I'm going to say 23-10.
Have you watched that Eagles defense at all? I think they're just going to swarm all over Brock. We've seen what he can do under pressure, and it is.
You think 10 points is too high? I thought 10 points was about as low as I could go. I think they can put up 10 points, but
it's going to – that Eagles defense is real. I think they are going to swarm him all day, and I think Brock's going to turn it over. I've got the Eagles in this game about – I'm thinking 33-10. I think this is a stomping by them. You say that Wentz has struggled in that game against the 49ers. It happens once in a while, but he has looked great.
Yeah, but this is one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the league. I think.
No, they're not the best. Get out of here with that.
I don't know. The one thing
they're not the best.
They've been good against the run, but against the pass, they have been mediocre.
The one thing I will say is they are bad against tight ends. And I'm going to steal your fantasy corner here, John. If you got a Zach Ertz, if you aren't starting him this week, you better get him in there, because I feel like Zach Ertz is going to have a big part in the offense against a Broncos team that can't really cover tight ends. Ian, who do you got in this game?
Honestly, I thought this was going to be one of the better games, but then I remembered that Brock Osweiler is going to be a quarterback. And Yeah, this is going to be a bloodbath by the Eagles defense. I'll keep it short and sweet. 27-6.
Yeah, I have 23-3. I don't see the Broncos scoring a touchdown, especially with Osweiler at quarterback.
A quick question. Over under Brock Osweiler 1.5 games before he gets benched.
I'm gonna say over just because if he's just coming back as the starter this week, I don't think they're gonna give up on him too early, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's benched by the end of November.
I'm gonna push. I think that he plays awful in this game and he plays awful in the first half of the New England game, and they put Paxton Lynch in for the second half of the New England game, I think.
I'm going over.
I think he'll last.
Go ahead, Chris.
I'm going to just pick over. I'm probably going to say he's going to last about 3 games, just till they can get Paxton Lynch in.
I agree on that. That sounds about right. I mean, if they felt confident in Lynch, they would go to him. But he still needs some time to get into this offense. I think Brock takes at least 3 games.
And just a reminder, Paxton Lynch isn't a good quarterback either. Like, the last time we saw him play in a regular season, he was awful. And the last time we saw him play in the preseason, he hadn't made, like, any improvement at all and was throwing balls into, like, triple coverage and rolling out when he didn't have to and holding on to the ball for way too long. So, really, the Broncos...
Well, you got to try somebody.
The Broncos' best hope, I think, at this point. What I want to see is, before he got hurt, before the beginning of training camp, there was a lot of hype around Chad Kelly for some reason. I kind of want to see. I think we're going to see Chad Kelly by the end of this way. But if I were to put, if I were to put a Slurpee on the fact that Chad Kelly will start at least 1 quarter before the season ends, would any of you take me on?
I would. There's no way he's starting. They've got – you have Osweiler, they have Lynch, and they have Simeon. They're going to go to one of those. I don't see them going to a fourth-string quarterback at that point.
You know, if that happens, I want to see what Mia Kalipas has to say about that on her Twitter feed, because if you guys don't remember, around the NFL draft time, Chad Kelly was DMing Mia Khalifa. For those of you who don't know who Mia Khalifa is, Google is sort of your friend. I don't know.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So that should make for some interesting talk.
Just general athlete etiquette 1-on-1, I think, should be just if Mia Khalifa reaches out to you, just don't respond. Just let it go.
I just block her at that point.
Just let it go. I feel like there's got to be a handbook where they get everyone from the NFL, from the NBA, from the NHL, from the MLB, even from soccer, just get everyone in a room and say, listen, number one rule of being a professional athlete, if Mia Khalifa reaches out to you, just shut her down. Like, just shut her down. I feel like that would solve a lot of the world problems.
Yeah, props to Juju Smith-Schuster for doing that.
Yeah, good for him.
I really like him.
He's one part of the Steelers that I can get behind. He's a funny guy.
He is very likable.
Moving on to another game, the Bengals at the Jaguars. I think the Jaguars are due for another one of these games where we say, wow, did the Jaguars just do that? I think they run over the Bengals early. I think they get an early 2-possession lead, and I think they win 24-7 over the Bengals.
I disagree. I think that this is going to be one of those games that tells us that the Jaguars are inconsistent. This is going to be a trap game for the Jaguars, in my opinion. I think the Bengals will win it. I have it 24-20. I just don't trust the Jaguars. Even, their defense is legit, but the offense is so inconsistent. And we're going to find out that they're a 500 team. That's what we're going to find out this week.
Ian, worst case scenario for you, the Jaguars somehow sneak in, get a playoff spot, somehow win their first playoff game, and upset the Patriots. Is that the worst case scenario for Patriots fans?
Worst case scenario, no, but that's definitely up there.
Well, it would make sense because if you remember correctly, their perfect season was technically ended week one of a preseason by the Jaguars.
Yeah,
okay, who ran season. All over
them. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, I was at that game. That wasn't really – I mean, it was preseason, and the Jaguars were going up against the Patriots, mostly third-string defense and offense.
Right, no, right. But
that was their first stringers now, mind you, so, like, I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, you might want to get a little bit worried because I think the Jaguars have the Patriots numbers, and I think they might just march into Foxborough and win it all.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the same Patriots offense from like 2 years ago beat the Jaguars by a score of something like 51-17 at home?
Hey, correct me if I'm wrong.
I know the NFL is weird, and that was a terrible Jaguars defense. This is an elite Jaguars defense now. You know, if Blake Bortles can outplay Tom Brady at home, then I will tip my cap to Mr. Bortles.
Oh, by the way, if you want a good laugh, go follow Is Blake Bortles Elite on Twitter.
No, it's actually just at Is Bortles Elite. There's no Blake as
capacity. It's perhaps the greatest Twitter feed, really, of all time. John, who do you have in this game? We've gotten way too far off into the weeds.
I've got the Jaguars in this game. I think that we know what Dalton is. We know he's not great. Leonard Fournette's back on that field after a lot of time off with that bye week. So he's rested. He's ready to go. We've seen what he can do to defenses. And I think A.J. Bouye and Jalen Ramsey are going to be terrorizing Andy Dalton all day through the air. There's no way he's going to be able to complete much. And especially with Tyler Croft and A.J. Green being his top wideouts and John Ross not doing anything, I've got the Jaguars winning this one by 10.
All right, sort of speed round here. I'll give you guys a game. You just tell me your picks, and I might ask a question. Colts-Texans, final score. I got Jacoby Brissett having a day, 24-10.
I'm going to take the Colts. I've got the Colts probably by a touchdown.
I'm taking Houston by 4.
I'm taking Houston 27-24.
Next game, San Francisco and the Cardinals. Who do we have in this game? And does Jimmy Garoppolo start the fourth quarter? I'm going to take the Cardinals by 30-17, and I'm going to say yes.
Cardinals aren't scoring 30 points without their starting quarterback. It's just not going to happen. I have this San Francisco 49ers in an upset, 21-17. And Jimmy Garoppolo is not starting in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think Garoppolo's going to be inactive. Sorry.
I've got the Cardinals winning this week just because Adrian Peterson's going to be relied on a ton. I expect him to have 20-plus carries. I've got the Cardinals winning 21-17.
Yeah, I don't know if Jimmy Garoppolo is even going to be active this week because he still has to learn the offense. But I do have the Cardinals winning. I'll say by 7.
Yeah, I think that the next game we have here, also semi-speed run pick, Ravens-Titans, just a score. I'm going to take the Ravens by a score of 24-10. I think Alex Collins continues being a big part of the offense for Baltimore.
I've got Baltimore winning. I'm going to say 17-13. Neither of these offenses has been great. They've had a lot of issues all year. I agree that Alex Collins is going to be big, but we haven't seen anything from either team.
Yeah, I have the Titans winning 17-16. I think it'll be a real defensive fight, but I have problems with the way I've seen both teams play lately. I mean, I know the Ravens have stepped it up lately, but we've seen them inconsistent, so I'm going to take the Titans in a close one.
Yeah, I'm taking the Ravens in this 21-17. But interesting tidbit, rookie wide receiver Corey Davis set to make his rookie debut this week after being sidelined with an injury for the first half of the season. So should be interesting to see how he fits into the Titans offense game plan this week, if they're going to rush him in or if they're going to ease him into it.
Moving on. The Seahawks and the Redskins. The Redskins really struggling because of bad offensive line play and some lackluster wide receiver play. I'm going to take the Seahawks in this game. I really think their running game is going to stand out, and I think Russell Wilson's going to have another big day. Seahawks 35-24.
Yeah, this game won't be very competitive. The Seahawks offensive line and the whole team is better than the Washington Redskins. It's clear. It's obvious. The Redskins are mediocre, so I'm going to take the Seattle Seahawks in a 35-17 win.
I'm going to take the Seahawks as my lock of the week. It's not going to be close. Dwayne Brown became one of the best left tackles for them. They had mediocre left tackle play, and with all those weapons on that Seattle offense, it's going to be a blowout. I'm going to say 31-10 in this game.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with this. This is my lock of the week as well. With the Redskins not having Jordan Reed, that kind of put the nail in the coffin for him. He's easily been the most consistent player, and I just do not see them winning without Jordan Reed, especially against a Seahawks team that's performed pretty well.
Yeah, I think a big thing for me in this game is the fact that Russell Wilson's going to have time to throw. I think he's been one of the best QBs in the league already, and I think he's really going to shine in this game. The next game, the Saints and the Buccaneers, I don't know. We organized these into games worth talking about. I'm not quite sure why this may, but this is a game worth talking about. The Buccaneers are really struggling coming into this game. The Saints are really doing well. I think the Saints are going to bowl over this team. It may not be a blowout, but it's going to be one of those games where the score is like, it's like a two-score game, but time of possession is going to be heavily in the Saints' favor. They're a ball control offense now, and I'm picking the Saints 24-10, and that'll be my lock of the week.
I disagree with your thought of this game, why this game won't be competitive, because this is a division game. We know anything can happen in divisional games. With that being said, I don't think the Buccaneers are a good team. They're an average team. The defense is banged up. I don't know. I don't think it has much to do with the defensive coordinator, Mike Smith, but I do think, in general, they're just injured right now. So I'm going to take the Saints in a 31-21 win.
I've got the Saints. Yeah. Marshawn Lattimore's been a lockdown corner since he entered the league this year. He's been really, really good. He's been exciting. And there's no one on that Bucs defense that has been worth really anything since about week two of the NFL season when they faced the Bears and Mike Glennon. I think the Saints are going to be able to run. They're going to be able to throw. Everybody's going to get work here. It's a division game, but I think the Saints are just going to blow the Bucs out of the water, especially since the Saints are at home. I'm going to go 28-13, Saints.
Yeah, Marshawn Lattimore's been a freak of nature right now. Easily the top runner for Defensive Rookie of the Year. But I was really hoping that my guy, Dietrich Wise Jr. over on the Patriots would have a shot at it, and he was like the number 7 ranked for Rookie of the Year by Pro Football Focus, but Lattimore has taken that title, and I don't think he's giving it up very easily. Easily the heart and soul of this Saints defense that's been performing way better than any other Saints defense we've seen in the past 5 or 6 years. Tampa.
Yeah, I'd say the best defense they've had after this one would be the year they won the Super Bowl. But what Absolutely. Were you saying? What were you saying about Tampa?
Tampa has severely underperformed. They were my pick to win the NFC South at the start of the season. I really liked what they did this offseason. They had a formidable defense, and that wide receiver core just got really dangerous, but they haven't really performed up to expectations. I don't see any reason why the Saints don't win this game by 2 touchdowns, to be honest.
All right, moving on to our next game. The Chiefs and the Cowboys, a game which suddenly this morning gains massive significance in the NFC playoff picture. The Dallas Cowboys get Zeke Elliott for this game. Say what you will, we'll save any conversation on Zeke Elliott himself for later if he should just take the suspension or not. I think he should. But this is a crucial game for the Cowboys to win, especially if they do end up losing Zeke for 6 games. So I'm thinking this is my upset of the week. I really think that the Cowboys in Jerry World can run on the Chiefs defense, which has been lackluster the past few weeks. And I think that Dak Prescott's going to have a big day, and I'm taking the Cowboys here.
Oh, well, not an upset.
I'm just seeing this. Yes, I'm just seeing this. My Cowboys are favored. So I feel like that should have been. I guess Zeke in makes
with
it.
Zeke in, it definitely shifted the line. A lot of money started shifting over to the Cowboys because what their offense has been doing. But I was actually going to grab this as my upset of the week. I think the Chiefs win this game because of the fact that Dallas's defense has been absolute trash all year. The Chiefs have looked mediocre to bad at times, but the Cowboys don't have the speed, and Marcus Peters is going to be able to cover whoever they want. Dak Prescott's been great, but with all the question marks that the Dallas defense has, Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, and Alex Smith should all have huge days this week. So I've got the Chiefs upsetting the Cowboys at home.
Dear God.
I have the Chiefs in this.
Okay, sorry, you were lagging. Dear God, please. I'm picking the Chiefs just because it's the rational pick for me. But dear God, please let the Cowboys win this game. Because if they win this game, I do believe that the Patriots get the number one, have the number one seed in the AFC, at least projected wise. And obviously, that doesn't really mean anything. Easy point in the schedule, taking shots at Eric. I think that if Kansas City can lose here, I think that it definitely helps the Patriots' chances of getting the number one seed.
I will pick the Cowboys in this game based on I believe that the Cowboys will have time of possession by a wide margin. Zeke helps them with that. Originally, I said Dallas wasn't winning before I found out that Zeke was playing, but I think Zeke, with them having Zeke, I think they'll be able to keep the time of possession between 35 minutes to 25 minutes. And they'll win the time of possession and they'll win the football game based on that.
Really, what I'm interested to see in this game is if Kareem Hunt has a big game, because if you think about it, he had so much hype in like the first 4 weeks of the season, but he hasn't really had a big game since Houston, really. So I think it can easily be a bounce back game. And I think he needs a big bounce-back game. Would you say that's accurate, our leading Kareem Hunt fanboy, John Butler?
Absolutely. And I think the biggest thing, if you watched the Chiefs games the last couple of weeks, Andy Reid has been very, very pass-heavy early on in the game. How was the last game? When they played I can't remember who they played last, but they had 22 passes to 7 rushes in the very first half of the game. And that's not the type of ball that they should be playing. I mean, they have Kareem Hunt. They have the offensive line to run the ball. And Alex Smith doesn't need to be throwing 22 times in the first half when you're trailing by 3 points or even a touchdown. There's no reason for it. I get you want to get out to an early lead or try and get Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce going, but you need to be a balanced offense. It allows for everything else to be more balanced. So I think he has a huge game just because Dallas' offense is miserable. I could actually see this game being a shootout because the Chiefs haven't been great against the pass, but and neither team really has. Am I crazy in thinking that?
Yeah, no, this is by far the best game of the week for that reason. I definitely agree. I think this
the reason
I don't know if I picked a score, so I'll pick my score right now. I think this is going to be really, really high scoring, and this is a good surprise, but I think the Cowboys win it like 38-35. I think it's that kind of a game, but it's going to go back and forth and go right down to the wire.
I don't think the Chiefs will have that much time to score 35 points. I really don't. I don't think they have 5 touchdowns worth of time of possession. I think that's the key of this game. If Dallas wins huge on the time of possession, then this won't be a high scoring game. This will be a more like your 24-17 type game. But either way, I still think, like I said, Dallas will win the time of possession by at least 5 minutes. Probably 10 minutes, but I'm going to take the Cowboys 24-17.
Yeah, moving on to the final game this week, the Packers and the Lions, and I don't have the line in front of me, so I'm just going to say right now I'm picking the Packers, and they're my upset of the week. Is that a thing I can do? I feel like they should be the underdogs in this game.
They are. Even though they are at home,
they are.
The Packers are the underdog. Detroit is favored by 2.
Okay, I'm taking the Packers because I think Brett Hundley's going to have an average day, which will look good to us because I don't think we expect a lot from him. I think that he'll end with a stat line of around like 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an INT probably. And I think that'll be good enough with Aaron Jones, who has been a beast for the past few weeks, tearing up the a weak Lions run defense that is quite frankly deflated coming off of that horrifying loss on Sunday Night Football. I think that the Packers take this, and I think the Packers defense can, quote, shut down the Lions offense, and I'm just saying quote shut down because the Lions have a weird thing where they like get like 500 yards in a game and then they don't score once in the red zone. So I think that the Packers will be one of those bend don't break defenses, and I think the Packers win this game 24-10.
I don't see how you can go with that. I mean, yeah, the Lions have had a lot of issues in the red zone, a lot of it doing with their passing game and especially not having a strong run game with Amir Abdullah and Theo Riddick. But Brett Hundley's no good. If they had any reason to be confident in him, I don't see it personally. Yeah, he had the bye week
He's
to work out a lot.
One game.
No,
He's
I know, but it's,
How can
I
make
just
a
don't,
judgment like that?
I don't think he has the arm talent and the necessity of it. Aaron Rodgers makes that team look much, much better. This is, we've seen him
look,
we've seen him play.
Everything's going to look Eric. Bad compared to Aaron Rodgers.
No, but we've seen him in more than one game.
And that's the problem.
We've seen Hundley once this year, but we've seen him in other years. This offense hasn't changed much. And I don't see Hundley being able to carry this offense like they're going to need him to. The fact is that I can see turning the ball over. The Lions' defense is better than you're giving them credit for. While they have issues scoring in the red zone, this Packers' defense is going to be on their heels a lot because of Brett Hundley not being able to convert as much as they need him to. So I've got the Lions in this game, personally.
Yeah, hey. I absolutely agree. Oh. Go ahead.
Nah, go ahead. You go. You're starting something.
No.
Stop being so polite.
I absolutely agree with you, John. I don't trust Brett Hundley at all. I know we've only seen one game this season, but we've seen him before. We know what's going to happen. Brett Hundley just can't make things happen like Aaron Rodgers did. He's just a different quarterback. He's a different type of quarterback, and I don't see how the Packers have a chance in this game, to be honest. Unless Matt Stafford has another 3-interception game, which I don't see against that Green Bay defense. So I'm going to take the Detroit Lions 25-13.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really see any way how the Packers win this game. I don't like what I see out of Brett Hundley enough to really give them a chance yet. Against the Detroit Lions team that's looked to above average this season, Matt Stafford looking like, you know, maybe not top draft pick Matt Stafford, but, you know, maybe first round pick Matt Stafford. This Packers team, it's without Aaron Rodgers, it's a completely different team. And I think that's a true statement for a lot of teams, but they're star quarterbacks. But Aaron Rodgers is definitely one of the most important to their teams as a quarterback for any team in this league. I gotta say, Lions by 6.
Yep. That'll do it for this week, I think. I mean, we've explored these games about as deeply as we can. I think we're all very tired. So I'll finish with this. Any massive weekend plans this weekend? Any earth-shattering details we should know about each other's lives? Let's start with you, Ian.
Well, this weekend, my dad's coming down. He's visiting the college campus for the first time. I haven't gotten to see him in about 2.5 to 3 months, so it's going to be kind of cool to see him again. I haven't seen my baby brother in about 4 months, so he'll be excited to see me again.
Is he, like, actually a baby or just younger?
I call him a baby brother. He just turned 4 months ago, so, like...
Yeah, it's a baby. Okay. I think you're a baby until you're, like, 6. That's my opinion.
I mean, there's a 14-year age difference between us, so... He's kind of a baby brother.
Yeah. He's a baby to you, man. Yeah. What about you, John?
No, not a whole lot. I mean, it's been cold here recently, so it's more... trying to find activities for the my 5-year-old son, mostly just keeping busy with him because he is a ball of energy.
Your wife sometimes drags you along to boring sounding museums. Like, didn't a week ago you went to like the Earth and Soil Museum or
no, the Museum of Science and Industry. It's actually it's very interesting. That one's actually a lot of fun because there's a lot of hands-on stuff, whether it's weather, whether it's airplanes, anything you can imagine when it comes to that.
Well, all right. That's solid decision making, man. I'll have to check it out if I'm ever inclined to learn more about science or industry. What about you, Chris? Anything massive happening?
I'm taking the weekend off. I'm not going to do too much this weekend.
Oh, well, sounds like we all have pretty boring lives. So that's exciting for people who listen to this podcast. Me, I'm going to just, I don't know. I think I'm going to go see the new Thor movie. Apparently supposed to be really good. Really hyped up about that. And then
I totally forgot all about that. I forgot that came out today.
Yeah. Oh, take your kid to go see the new Thor movie.
Absolutely. It looks good. It looks entertaining.
That's good stuff. Anyways, well, we'll save it for the Kissing Marvel's Ass podcast. But we will see you all again on, we don't know when our next show maybe, but sometime next week. This is my first reading. The Atlanta Falcons and Carolina Panthers, a game we forgot to talk about earlier. So just throw it around the horn really quick. I think the Falcons offense gets almost back on track. I think they win 27-14.
I have Falcons 27-40. Yeah, I just don't think Carolina secondary will keep. I don't think Carolina's defense will keep them in this game.
I've got the Falcons winning 23-10. They got rid of Kelvin Benjamin, so that's going to make a lot of questions on their offense, even though he wasn't great. Falcons are going to have a bounce back game. I've got the Falcons winning.
Yeah, this is going to be the Falcons 24-14. Carolina Carolina's not looking too great.
All right. Well, I'm exhausted and ready to die. So good night, everyone. Peace out.